Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Proust and the Squid, The Story and Science of the Reading Brain by Marianne Wolfe explores a remarkable fact. Humans are not born to read, yet the brain can reorganize itself to make reading possible. Drawing on neuroscience, cognitive psychology, linguistics, and education, Wolfe traces how writing systems emerged and how each one shaped the mental processes we now take for granted. The book moves between the deep past of cuneiform and alphabets and the present-day classroom, showing what the reading circuit is, how it develops in children, and why it can break down in dyslexia and other reading difficulties. Along the way, Wolfe highlights reading as both a technical achievement and a cultural instrument that changes how we think. The result is a big-picture guide to the science of literacy, written to help parents, educators, and curious readers understand what is at stake when societies learn to read. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reading as an invented skill that rewires the brain. A central idea of the book is that reading is not a natural, hardwired human capacity like spoken language. Instead, it is an invention that must recruit and reorganize existing brain systems that originally evolved for vision, language, attention, and memory. Wolfe explains how the brain builds a reading circuit by linking visual pattern recognition with sound, meaning, and higher-level language processes. This helps clarify why learning to read requires instruction, practice, and time, and why it varies across individuals. The concept of neuroplasticity is crucial here. The brain can change its wiring in response to experience, and literacy is a powerful example of that change. By treating reading as a learned biological and cultural accomplishment, the book frames literacy as both fragile and improvable. This perspective also bridges debates about reading instruction by emphasizing that successful reading development depends on building efficient pathways between multiple cognitive systems rather than relying on a single method or talent. Secondly, how writing systems shaped the history of reading, Wolfe connects the evolution of writing to the evolution of reading in the brain. Different scripts and orthographies place different demands on perception and language, and these demands influence how readers process print. The book surveys major milestones, such as early symbolic marks, logographic systems, syllabaries, and alphabetic writing, showing how each step changed what readers needed to learn. Wolfe highlights that alphabetic systems, by mapping symbols to speech sounds, enable a relatively compact code but require strong phonological processing. Other systems may rely more heavily on memorizing characters or on morphological cues, shifting the balance of skills involved. This historical lens reinforces the idea that reading is an adaptable achievement. Brains learn the code that a culture provides. It also clarifies why there is no single universal reading profile across languages. Understanding the match between a writing system and the brain helps educators appreciate why some learners thrive in certain orthographies, while others need more explicit support, especially when learning to read in a second language. Thirdly, the developing reading brain in children. The book explains how children gradually assemble the components required for fluent reading, from early sensitivity to speech sounds and vocabulary growth to decoding, automatic word recognition, and comprehension. Wolfe emphasizes that fluency is not merely speed. It is the smooth coordination that frees attention and working memory for understanding, inference, and reflection. She describes reading development as a progression in which the brain becomes more efficient at connecting print to sound and meaning, eventually allowing the reader to focus on ideas rather than letter-by-letter effort. This topic highlights the importance of early language exposure, rich conversation, and read-aloud experiences, which help build the oral language foundation that later supports comprehension. Wolfe also underscores that reading acquisition is shaped by instruction, socioeconomic context, and individual differences in attention and processing. By mapping the typical trajectory of reading development onto brain systems, the book gives parents and educators a framework for recognizing what skills may be missing when a child struggles, and what kinds of support may help. Fourthly, dyslexia and reading difficulties through a scientific lens. Wolfe addresses dyslexia and related reading difficulties as differences in how the reading circuit is formed and operates, not as indicators of low intelligence or lack of effort. She discusses how challenges can arise in phonological processing, rapid naming, working memory, visual attention, or the integration of these components. The book highlights that reading problems are diverse, which is why one-size-fits-all interventions often disappoint. Instead, effective support tends to be structured, explicit, and responsive to the specific bottleneck a learner faces, with attention to motivation and self-esteem. Wolfe also explores the emotional impact of persistent reading struggle, including the risk of disengagement and the long-term educational consequences if difficulties are misunderstood or ignored. By explaining dyslexia in terms of brain organization and cognitive processes, the book helps readers move beyond simplistic labels and toward practical empathy. It also supports the case for early screening, evidence-based instruction, and a strengths-aware approach that recognizes creativity and problem-solving abilities often seen in dyslexic individuals. Lastly, what is at stake in the digital age of reading? Wolf considers how changing reading environments may influence the formation of the reading brain, especially as screens, hyperlinks, notifications, and rapid information streams reshape attention. The book raises concerns that frequent skimming and fragmented reading can reduce opportunities to practice deep reading, the slower, reflective mode that supports critical analysis, empathy, and complex reasoning. This is not presented as a rejection of technology, but as a call to design reading lives intentionally. Wolf encourages balancing efficient information gathering with sustained immersion in longer texts because different cognitive benefits may depend on different reading habits. She also points out that digital tools can support literacy when used thoughtfully, for example, through accessibility features and targeted practice. The broader message is that the reading brain is plastic in both directions. It can be strengthened for concentration and comprehension, or trained toward constant switching. By linking neuroscience to everyday media choices, Wolf invites educators, parents, and readers to protect and cultivate the cognitive capacities that mature literacy enables. In conclusion, this book is well-suited for educators, reading specialists, parents, psychologists, and any reader curious about how literacy changes the mind. It benefits the reader by turning reading from a mysterious school subject into an understandable set of brain-based processes, making it easier to spot why a child or adult might struggle and what kinds of support are likely to help. The book also broadens the value of literacy beyond test scores, arguing that fluent reading enables deeper comprehension, critical thinking, and reflective insight that matter across a lifetime. Compared with many similar books, Wolf offers a rare blend of cultural history, cognitive science, and classroom relevance. Rather than focusing only on neuroscience or only on teaching methods, she integrates both and shows how writing systems, development, and learning differences fit together. For anyone making decisions about instruction, intervention, or screen habits, the book provides a grounded framework for choosing practices that build a strong, flexible reading brain. If you would like to support Marianne Wolf, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.